if you would go ahead and we'll go back to Romans 12. Go back to Romans 12. And if you want a title for this evening's message, the title for the message is Helpers, Helpers in Christ Jesus. So, giving helpers in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:8, the middle of that verse, the Apostle Paul, he says, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." Let's pray together. Father, as we get into your word and as we continue in preaching and teaching through the gifts that are listed here in Romans 12, Lord, I pray again that you would help us, that you would encourage the brethren with it, that you would speak to the one that is gifted this way. Maybe they don't know that they are and they need encouragement in it, or maybe they know that they are and they need encouraged, or maybe they know that they are and they're burning out because they're doing these things on their own and they need encouragement. Lord, tonight I pray for your help, that you would help us to get through it, that we'd have understanding. Lord, that you would receive glory from this gift. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this gift here, just like some of these other gifts that we're going to discuss as we go through now these list of, you know, the quote-unquote non-speaking gifts, this gift is not one that is going to stand behind the pulpit. It's not going to be one that draws attention to itself, or one that's really in the forefront and is even acknowledged very often within the body. But something we need to understand about this gift of giving is that without it, the church will starve. The church will starve. And it's this gift of giving. Just like all the other gifts that we've mentioned and preached through here in Romans 12, this is not a natural gift. And it's what we need to understand in all of these, but even in this one, because there are those that can give gifts, that's their love language, is gift giving. This is a gift that is still supernatural. It isn't a gift that requires wealth. It requires willingness. It isn't a gift that is about abundance, but about obedience. Paul says, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." That word simplicity carries this idea of a singleness of heart, that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. There isn't a hidden agenda. There isn't a need for recognition, and there is no manipulation behind this. You're not an Indian giver. You're not one that gives and the expectation is that you can loom this over somebody's head. A giver doesn't give to be seen. A giver gives because they see a need in the body. When others overlook things, givers see them. They see the need and they take action. They see burdens that others walk past. And I've seen this in my own experience, that There are times that God will lead a person that is gifted in giving into a conversation, into a group of people that are overhearing of a burden of someone else, and that giver then intercedes. A giver, they see the work of God and they feel responsible to fuel it. They feel responsible to keep it moving forward. Like I said this morning in the message, as I started to study through Romans 12 and realizing that this is one of the first churches that was established here in Rome, in this letter to the Roman churches from the Apostle Paul, I wanted to go back and have the last few weeks into Acts. The first ministries of Paul, the people that God brought together to ignite this wildfire that spread of the gospel. Because if we're going to get the first things first, we need to go to the first churches first. So I want to show you guys in the book of Acts a living example of this gift of giving. And you guys are familiar with this name or these names because they were mentioned a few weeks ago whenever we talked about this gift of teaching. So if you guys would, let's go ahead and we'll turn to Acts chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18 and verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Paul came to Aquila and Priscilla. And because he was of the same crafts, or the same industry, or the same trade, he abode with them and worked, or wrought. For by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. This evening I want to talk about this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. If you'll then turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 3. Paul says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. These were tent makers by trade. They brought Paul in to their home, allowed Paul to stay with them. But it was even more than that. They said, Paul, you're also a tent maker. That's who we are by trade. Why don't you come work alongside us? They paid him a wage, which took the burden off of the churches that Paul was visiting. That he was not a burden to those, and he could pin that truthfully in his letters. They didn't say, Paul, come work with us, and you can have a room in our house. They said, Paul, come work alongside us. And what did Paul do while he was in that work? It said that he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. They encouraged the ministry. They pushed the ministry forward. Paul, he didn't just find co-workers. He found givers. These people, they gave their home. The church met there. They gave their trade. They labored alongside Paul. We saw with Apollos that they gave their time in teaching. And then ultimately, they almost gave their lives. Paul says that they risked their necks for me. Again, these aren't pulpit people. These aren't people that are ever going to stand up here on a platform. But they were pillars in the church. They were essential to the furtherance of the gospel. They are essential to the church. Givers are essential to the body of Christ. It's the reason they're listed here among these giftings. They understood something that givers need to understand. That the work of God must be sustained. And they were a part of sustaining it. So how does this gift now operate within the body? I want to give you some encouragement. If you believe that this is the way that God has gifted you, is that without you, vision stalls. I can stand up here until I'm blue in the face and say, this is what the Lord is saying. He's directing the church this way. Though God owns cattle on 1,000 hills, He uses people as catalysts for the furtherance of the gospel. Vision stalls if givers stop giving. Now, I also want to preface this that I'm not talking about tithes and offerings. I'm not talking about some of the things that if I start to talk about it, people might actually get up and walk out of the church. They might actually look at me and say, oh, he's just trying to pad his pockets. Or, oh, he's just trying to make a preacher salary. I would hope that you guys know the men that stand behind this pulpit much differently than that. And I believe that you do. But there is a need of giving within the body. Also, the thing that you need to understand, they're not necessarily the ones where they brought all things together. They sold their lands and sold their goods and they brought them and laid them at the disciples' feet. And the disciples gave necessity to the body. They distributed to the necessity of the saints. These are those same people that come into that. But these are people that they see a need within the body and they give. They give of their monetary value. They give of their time. If givers are not present within the body, the vision stalls. The ministry slows down to an almost snail-like pace. And if we're not careful, even opportunity dies. There is a need for gift giver or givers that are gifted this way in the body. When the giver is operating within this gift, there are needs that are quietly met within the body. It doesn't need attention. It doesn't need notoriety. They're met quietly within the body. The leaders in the church are strengthened because they see needs being met within the body. And the gospel moves forward. They gave Paul work. He labored beside them so he could go into the synagogues and he could reason with the Jews. He could reason with the Greeks. The giver, they see a missionary and they support them. They see a struggling family and they lift them up. They see a church need and they fill a gap. Many times no one knows, and that's just the way that God has designed it. Their reward will come from Him. But there is a danger that comes with the giver. For the giver. Because a giver, if they're not careful, will burn out. And the reason why is because they stretch themselves thin. Givers often are the people that say yes too much. They're often the ones that even give beyond wisdom. They see a need and maybe they don't have it and they say, I'm just going to give it. Now, don't let me take that blessing away from you. Because there have been many times that people have given everything they have and God has given back. I'm not going to ever be one of those TV preachers that stand up here and say, give and give and give, and you'll get sevenfold back, because it might not happen. And I don't want you to come to me and say, Brother Matt, you said this. We need wisdom in our giving. It must be Spirit-led. Every single one of these gifts are given of the Spirit, so why would they not be Spirit-led? Givers often are the ones that feel guilty for saying no. And if they're not careful, givers tie their identity to being needed. And slowly what was once joy now becomes pressure. They start to resent. They start to say things like, no one gives like I do. There's an exhaustion that comes upon them. They can't keep up. There's a bitterness that infiltrates the heart. They start thinking and believing that everyone's just taking advantage of them. And then lastly, there is an emptiness that follows. They have nothing left to give because they're walking in the strength of their own flesh. See, there's something critical that the giver needs to remember whenever they're walking out this gift of giving, is that you are a steward over what God has already given. You're not a savior. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. But you are to be a steward over what God has given. So that's why there's some guardrails that are put up in this verse. It says, those that give, do it with simplicity. You need wisdom. You need to give as you're led, not as you're pressured. Not everyone needs your giving. And anybody that is gifted this way goes, oof. Not everyone needs your gifting, your giving. Even Jesus didn't heal everyone in Israel. You have to stay connected to the source of your giving. If you're always pouring out and you're never being filled yourself, you'll eventually dry up. So time with God is not optional. It's survival. You must give with boundaries. Even Paul worked when needed. Even Jesus withdrew to rest. Saying no is not a sin. It's stewardship. And then remember that God is the one that multiplies. It's not you. You're not responsible for the outcomes. The only thing you're responsible for is your obedience. But as I see this gift acted out within Acts and acted out even in the body here at Rochdale Baptist Church, one of the things I notice is there's such beauty in what God does whenever someone who is gifted this way walks in obedience in this gift. Because the church is strengthened. Ministry, it becomes stable. We're no longer relying on weekly budgets and weekly things and business meetings and all of the things that happen within the monetary funds of the church. There's no longer this ebb and flow of funds, but there's stability within the body. And then the gospel gets legs. It becomes mobile. We're able to send it out. We're able to further the gospel. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. If you this evening are gifted with this gift of giving, what you do may be unseen by the human eye. But it's never unnoticed by God. You may not be the one that stands behind the pulpit. You might not be the one that teaches. You might not be the one that evangelizes. You might not be the one that preaches the sermons. But you are the one that makes them possible. You are the one that continues to give towards the ministry that makes the preaching of the gospel possible. And I know this seems kind of backwards, but I see here in Scripture the need for funds to move forward. This is not an easy thing to preach, because again, so many will believe that we're speaking about tithes or offerings or what you put in the offering plate on Sundays or what you put in our missionary offering or what you put in the offering plate whenever we have love offerings. And that's not what we're speaking of here. I have heard testimony of missionaries and evangelists that have prayed, "Lord, we need a car." They prayed for a red one, Suburban. Their children specifically, "Lord, we want a red Suburban, third row, the older one with the blue seats that feels like a couch." And a week later, somebody brings it to them. You can read men of old. There are many books written, biographies written of these men that they didn't make their needs known before men. They went into their prayer closets and they prayed to the Lord. "Lord, this is what we need." And there was a knock on the door. And someone gave exactly what they needed. It was someone that was gifted with giving, being obedient to the Lord. My encouragement to the giver is to give. But give with simplicity. Give with joy. Give with wisdom. Give from overflow and not emptiness. And remember that God never asked you to carry the whole body. He's just asked you to be obedient in what He's asked. Givers are necessary in the body. We need them. We need them at Rochdale Baptist Church. We trust the Lord to provide. We know that He owns cattle on 1,000 hills. We know that He is the giver and sustainer of life. We know that He's the one even that sends men out, that He calls men. But the body needs givers that do it with simplicity. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word again this evening. Thank You for the time we got to spend. I know it was short and sweet, but Lord, it's what we need. We need to be encouraged that Lord, we can be used in ministry even though we're not the one standing and proclaiming the Word of God. There are so many that were used in Scripture just by opening the doors to their home, just by providing a meal. Lord, think of the woman that literally had enough meal for her and her son, that they were going to eat it and just die. Lord, help us give that way. To be willing and obedient to do what it is that You've asked us to do. To have a heart like that. Pray for Your help in Jesus' name. Amen.